All right. Well, how many are glad you're in the house of God this morning? Me too, I could tell. It's good to be in God's house with God's people. And one of the things that we just really value at Lake Mount is truly a sense of the family of God and just being a spiritual family where when we come together and worship and we sit under the preaching of God's word, that we actually just, we kind of join into a conversation and just let the Spirit of God lead us. And so this morning, it is my privilege to introduce one of my absolute favorite preachers ever. And I'm going to ask you to give a huge welcome to Lisa Tapley. She comes to bring the word of God this morning.
Whoa, that's pretty awesome. It's because I preach at him at home. Babe, do you know what the Lord says about socks on the floor? Just kidding, I don't. I gave up. If he doesn't care, Jesus must not care. Amen. See? All right, who's excited to be in church today? Me too. I'm excited for a different reason. I am usually super excited to go real deep and whatever. I am being humbled today. It's going to hit already. This week, I feel the draw of the Holy Spirit pulling us in closer, and I am privileged to be able to team with him today and speak what I feel is on his heart. This is a house known as People of the Presence, and I feel like today we're going to be known as people who respond to the presence as well. There's a difference between the presence of God being here and being known as one who responds. So I'm just very aware of his presence today. I feel like there is a line that we can cross, and it's an invitation today, so I feel excited. So if you pray in the Spirit and you believe that Holy Spirit wants to draw us close, just be praying underneath that Holy Spirit's just teaching you and releasing you as we go, all right? All right, who loves the Word? Woohoo! The Word cuts between soul and spirit. That's our fleshly side and our spirit side. You are made up of body, soul, and spirit, and our spirits should be out front. Does everybody know that? Pretty much in this society, we live with our souls out front. But God has called us to live with spirit first. So that's what's happening today. We're going spirit first. I want to read the scripture, Mark 14, 1 to 9. This is our text today. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The leading priests and the teachers of the religious law were still looking for an opportunity to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. I think that's funny, don't you? Secretly, like Jesus doesn't know what's going on. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people may riot. Good plans. These guys are smart. All right, verse 3. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Some of those at the table were indignant. "Why waste such expensive perfume?" they asked. "It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor." So they scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you. You can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could, and she anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deeds will be remembered and discussed." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that you are always teaching us and you are always leading us. And Father, we just want new revelation from you. We want to know your heart. We want to know your mind. God, we want to know your ways. And mostly, we just want to know how to love you. So, Father, I thank you for your love that's in this room today. God, I thank you that we can feel it, that your invitation is to draw near to it. And God, as we look at your word, Father, I pray that our eyes would be open to what you're saying to us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I love that this lady, P.S., just knows the times and seasons. Did you know that when you're a worshiper, you can know the times and seasons? She walks in 2 days before the Passover feast and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and she's already prepping Jesus for burial. Nobody else is. She's highly aware of what's ahead because of where she is in her heart towards the Father. Her thankfulness and her love and her adoration towards the Father opened up time and seasons for her and understanding. And I think that that is a huge, that's sometimes what the body of Christ is missing, is we don't know what's going on. We think we're caught off guard. And what's going on with you, Father? And, oh, you're out of control. And nothing's out of control. Nothing's ever out of his watch. He's never left us. But when we draw close to him, we can catch his heart before things happen. There's an awareness and an understanding of the supernatural that we can gain when we pour it all out to him. All right. Our response to him matters more than his heart for us. That one kind of blew me away because I was like, what? But he's fully in this room right now. If you're a believer, he's fully in you. Your response to him is where we unravel in front of him. Our ability to let go and in different segments in our life. If you've walked with Christ for a long time, you'll know that you can get closer to him and closer to him, or you can get farther from him if you don't pursue. Does that make sense? So our response to him matters more than that he's in this room. All right. Because in this room, Jesus puts this lady down in history for her response. I love that. So the Bible says that she'll be preached about and remembered and discussed forever. She makes history because she walks into a room and does what's appropriate. All right. There's a lot going on in this scripture. There's the Passover, the onlookers, a display of extravagance, the judgments, the acknowledgement of time and season, and a history maker. I want to talk about the history maker and her response to the extravagant love that's always available. So worship is what this woman is bringing to Jesus. Everybody, it's an alabaster jar, which, okay, so in what this thing is, it's made up of rock, so it's containing oils and fragrance inside this jar, and it's corked, I forget the word, with something on top, and you have to break it open to use it. Because of the stone that it's in, it gets kept and preserved for a long time, but it's made up of essential oils and oil, but there's fragrances to it. And it's used for healing, relaxing, preparing people for burial. There's a whole lot of uses to this oil, but it's really expensive. It's a year's wages, which, bad purchase. But she had an alabaster jar full of nard, which, who named that? It's actually called spikenard. I'm like, I'm going to name my next dog that. Hey, spikenard. Ooh, I got a snort. That was good. All right. Oh, I lost my train of thought. The little snort threw me right off. All right. So she comes in with this alabaster jar into a room full of men reclining, having supper. Gets scolded for breaking open a bottle, pouring it over his head, and... yeah, bravery right there. Okay, so worship is the response of love, respect, and adoration, and it flows from our hearts. So this is what Jesus deserves from us, but what he longs for from us is our respect and our adoration. So three things that worship requires: an extravagant sacrifice is number one. Extravagance means exceeding the bounds of reason, actions, demands, opinions, or passions, going beyond what is reasonable. That's extravagant. So this woman takes this alabaster jar and pours it on Jesus' head. Now, in New Testament times, and even now, wealth is seen as, in some cultures, a sign of God's favor and blessing. So she takes this sign of favor and blessing and spends it on Jesus. So what everybody is chasing, what everybody's desiring, she takes and spends it on the one who's worthy. So she's showing in her action that she's not after money. She's not after worldly pleasure. She's after him. So her pursuit is not money. Her pursuit is not fame. It's not to get more toys. It's to bless God. It's to love him. It's to worship him extravagantly. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God said, 'Never will I leave you,' or 'Never will I forsake you.'" That's pretty cool. It has to do with money and wealth. That speaks to me of we need to trust him a little more with what's our worth, what he's worth, what we think is up here as the prize. We need to trust him a little more and not let money and going after worldly gain and pleasures take the place of trusting him. So she's spending what is precious here on earth, and she's declaring her trust in him and saying to Jesus, her life is eternally focused. Did you know you can't store up treasures on earth and be eternally focused at the same time? Your heart's in two places. And the word says where your treasure is, there your heart will be. I'm not saying be unwise with money. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying where your treasure is. So typically, if you want to find out where your treasure is, it's something that you won't give away. So when we come to the Lord and he asks us for a tithe or a sacrifice of praise or an offering, or could you be generous to somebody, and we buck at it because it's our money and we're scared that he won't provide, that's where your treasure is, because you won't give it away. So this lady says, "You're my treasure. I'll give it all away. I'll give everything because I believe you're worthy." So she's saying that Jesus is first. He's the pursuit. Extravagant worship means what we are bringing and giving to Jesus is greater than the perceived sacrifice. Sometimes we think we come in here and our sacrifice is that we lifted our hands or that we gave our tithe, and God is calling us into more. And I'm just declaring prophetically today, God's calling us as a house into more. There's more worship for us to go into. There's more generosity for us to go into. There's more extravagance for us to behold from our Father. And it's a calling for us to behold him as more precious than anything on this earth. So sacrifice means giving what you will not give. Whoa, I think I just read that wrong. Hold on. Sacrifice means giving. What you will not give is what you love. So when was the last time you pushed into the presence and it cost you time? It cost you courage? Cost you some of your reputation? When was the last time you abandoned what anyone else ever thought in the room except for Jesus? So he's always here. But when we draw in close to him, we become more aware of his presence. And then he draws close to us. Okay, so he's always here. His presence is always available. It's our response to that that matters. Does that make sense? Good. All right, worship requires pushing. Here we go. Pushing past offense. We'll just rewind that. All right. Ever been in a room where you feel centered out, like right now? Never happens to me. Ever. Ever walked into a room and you just feel like, ooh, I shouldn't be here. I feel like this when I walk into a room and there's a bunch of guys talking. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. I'll just keep going. Sometimes I try to join in. I'm like, no, no, okay. One time when I was in public school, I was in grade 6. These were my awkward years. Actually, they haven't stopped. And my gym teacher had a little bit of an anger problem. I'm not sure why he was a teacher, but he was angry every day. And yeah, right? I got sozoed, don't worry. He lines us all up on the gym wall, and we're going to play volleyball, which I love. I'm super active. I'm excited. He lines us all up on the gym wall and tells us to be quiet, and I'm like, I can't stop laughing because I'm like, this is so weird. I don't know why I thought it was weird. Just that day, I thought it was weird. The next thing I remember is being on the floor because he had thrown a volleyball at my head. Got my volleyball back to the wall with my head, and I passed out for a second and had a big bloody nose. Yeah, that's being centered out. I woke up and I was like, what the? I don't feel like I should be in this room right now. Anyway, Jesus heals those things, and he loves that teacher. It's true. All right. So, can you imagine being this woman? Walking into a room full of men who don't really like her. Okay, then she pours this alabaster jar on Jesus' head, and they really don't like her. Like, worse than a volleyball to the head. They're rebuking her harshly. Now, I'm thankful that Jesus doesn't give the red letter version there of what he said, because it would create allowances for me to rebuke people harshly with great words. But could you imagine being that lady? That's a sacrifice. Standing there taking it from a bunch of men who don't understand, and she's like, oh. You'll get it in a few days. It's just a woman thing. We have a little higher intuition than you guys. But it's okay, you catch up. All right, so this lady's feeling shame, embarrassed, totally centered out, and that's not cool, and she's in a bad atmosphere. When people are rebuking you harshly, the atmosphere changes. Okay, she's bringing worship, and they're bringing rebukes. Two separate atmospheres, right? Right, but she's super courageous. She's in this place where she's pushing past offense. So God offends the mind to reveal the heart. Who said that? John or not? I was going to ask him last night, but he was flying in the air. Jesus, tell me. John or not? God offends the mind to reveal the heart. Was she super offended? Probably. If she's like a lady at all, yeah, she is. Listen here, step off. All right. But as she's offended, her heart's fine. I want to get to that place where whatever's going on in the room, whatever's going on in my life, that offenses don't take the place of my heart being right. Our offense can come from people, perceptions, our reality, our hurts, and our fears. Our response to Jesus in worship is for Jesus. It's not for ourselves. It's not to soothe ourselves. This was a huge lesson for me when our daughter Sarah passed away. I felt like worship and his presence was like this place of peace for me. And that's great. That's got its purpose. That's got its healing plan. But the purpose of worship is actually to give something. Giving it away. I'm highly offended. There were about 2 years that worship was highly offensive for me. Yes. Yes, Lord, I love you. I was not on robot. I was giving a sacrifice of praise. But as I give a sacrifice, he's asking for more. Can you love me now? I'm glad you can sacrifice, but can you love me? So I feel like our response to Jesus in worship is for Jesus. Offense with his presence. Let's talk about that. Oh, I have the wrong book. Here we go. 1 Samuel 6. No, yep. All right, this scripture, I don't know if I'll read it all because it's very long. All right, so this scripture is about the ark, and this is David's first action as the king. And he decides to bring the ark back. And as he's bringing the ark back with his men, Uzzah trips, reaches out for the cart, and dies. And David's like, what the what? So he decides to put the cart in Obed-Edom's house, a house near there, and leaves it there because he's highly offended with God. You're all nodding because it's happened. And when you admit it, you'll get free. All right. So he puts the cart, which is the presence of the Lord, in Obed-Edom's house and leaves it there for 3 months, comes back, after he hears Obed-Edom's house and everyone in it has been super blessed and he gets jealous for it. He's like, okay, I'm going to get over my offense and I'm going to go get that ark and bring it back. So they make a plan. They go get the ark and they sacrifice. They take 6 steps. They make a sacrifice. It took a long time. Sometimes when you're coming out of offense, it'll take a long time. But be okay with the journey, all right? All right, so he gets the ark back, and as he's coming back in, he is dancing his face off because he is super excited to bring the ark of the Lord back to God's people. It's where it belongs, with the people of God. Our response to the Lord and our praise and our worship and his presence belong with the people of God. All right, so as he's doing that, his wife's looking down, offended at him. How could you do this? You're the king. You're dancing around like, dip, dip, dip. And all the little girls think you're awesome, and she's offended in her heart at his response to worship. I think that sucks for her. Well, sucks for him to have to go home to, P.S. Don't ever be down on somebody's worship response. You're not them. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know what they're in currently. So don't ever make fun of somebody's response or tell them they shouldn't or tell them that it's inappropriate. They're worshiping from a place of worship. Let it happen. All right. So getting over our offense with God can take time, but stay aware of the presence, and it brings blessing and takes our worship to a whole other level when we get over the offense. All right, we need to be able to let him love us. Do you think David in those 3 months wanted the ark back at home? He did. But he had to let the love of God heal something in him. He had to let that jealousy rise up of, oh, I actually want your presence. I'm craving your presence. This is where it belongs. Ever felt like that? I miss your presence, God. I miss how I once felt really close to you. Something got in there, and I'm just going to push past it. I'm going to push past it and let your presence come. And whatever my response is, that's true worship. So don't protect your hurting heart from the only one who can heal it. I'm going to ask for the band to come. Sometimes when we're offended, we pull back from the Lord. We pull back from his people. We pull back from how we're made. We pull back from our responses that come naturally because we're trying to protect ourselves from the only one who can touch us. the places in us that are actually hurting. Did you know you go to counseling for the rest of your life? And if you are in counseling, stay at it. It's good. It's wisdom. But there is a place in your heart that only the Holy Spirit can touch. And sometimes some of the things that the people say will finally connect to your heart, but then God will touch it. That awareness is not a person. That awareness, well, it is a person. It's Holy Spirit. It's not your counselor. He's the counselor. There's something coming alive to you in his presence. So, yes, getting over the hurt. So, worship, number three, worship requires that we keep him first. So no person or situation should have so much opinion that you withhold your worship. There is a word for that. It's an idol. It's true. When we don't worship because somebody's in the room and they might see us, you value their opinion over God's. Do you know what we give an account for here? Our lives. Nobody in this room will be standing with you, not even your husband or wife. You. And I'm not getting harsh. But we will be judged for everything good and bad. So when we get the opportunity to come into his presence, let's get in his presence and worship. The things that hold us back shouldn't. If there's an idol in your life, let it fall. Let it fall. There's nothing so important that you can't abandon yourself for him. Nothing. If your spouse thinks you're crazy because you danced, deal with it at home. Lead your family in godly paths. And you say, I will get even more undignified than this. David, it's in the Bible, so we can say it at home too, right? This is totally a side note. Raise your kids to love God's presence more than anything else. More than hockey games, more than video games, more than shopping. More than anything, raise your kids to love his presence. I'm not saying push it on them, but raise them in the presence. That's good. That way your kids don't run into making idols. They know what it's a priority first. So worship is a call to put Jesus first and become known by him. I love that. This woman who loved Jesus so extravagantly in here has been talked about for years and is known by Jesus as one who did something beautiful. I want to be known in heaven as somebody who did something beautiful for God. I don't care if I write books. I don't care if I travel the world. I don't care about anything really, but to be known by God who did something beautiful. There should be something in us that Jesus is first so much that he's what we think about when we wake up. What can I give you today? Because you've given it all to me. You've given everything for me. What can I bring you? I'm jealous to be known by Jesus. Often we come in here and we think, how can I praise you? How can I praise you? How can he know you? Today, feel the call of letting him in. Let him in. Let him pass the walls. Let him pass the offenses. Let him in to actually know you, to move his heart. Eternity knows this woman by her selfless response of her love for Jesus, not huge exploits. I think we have it all wrong. The word says to come and die that you may live. Come and worship and be known. Not go and do everything. Yeah, we have to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Yes, but this woman gets known for her selfless response to Jesus. I think that's beautiful. Our sacrifice in worship creates eternal legacies. Did you know your worship may make a way for kids behind you? May make a way for your kids. May make a way for your grandkids. May make a way for a child you don't even know. But your worship response makes a way in the eternal, and it has a legacy. I want to be found at his feet. I want to be found dancing for him or giving an extravagant gift to him. I want to be someone who does something beautiful for him. And I want to invite you today to stand. And we have some time. And I just want to respond to the call today of knowing him. I want to invite you, if you want to come up here and worship, please do that. I'm not putting any call on it, but I feel like there's a response that needs to happen from your heart that's only yours. It's only yours to give. That lady brought what was hers and gave it to Jesus and poured it on him. Today, there's something that you have that you need to pour out to Jesus. There's something that'll make you complete in him that you need to pour out to him. So we're known as a house for his presence, and there's more. There's more revelation. There's more of his face today. There's new depths to his love. There's more that we can encounter, and there's deep healing available. So come and taste and see that he's good. So Father, we just invite your presence today right now. Jesus, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your extravagant love, Father. And I thank you that as we love you back, Father, that our hearts, as they respond in purity and as they respond in true worship, God, that there would be an encounter with you, Father, that you love. Father, one that you will talk about for all eternity. When we get to heaven, God, you will say to us, thanks for that day that you poured it all out. Thanks for drawing close to me. Thank you for bringing me a gift. Thank you for loving me like only you can. So, Father, I just ask for your presence to be really thick in this room. God, that you would come and encounter us as we encounter you in Jesus' name.